Okay, October 22nd, tonight, 2018. Tonight's topic is Zmanim in the polar regions. So I guess I was in Teaneck, and I just saw in the back of the minyan, I guess Rabbi Taubes gave a shiur on this topic. So I thank him for some of the Mar Makomos, and Rabbi Bleich, in his contemporary halachic problems on 5. I'm following his article very closely for tonight's shiur. I guess some of the maybe some background in astronomy. So I guess as you go further north, sunset gets later and later. There'll be places where when you go far up north, you'll have sunrise, sunset, in a, you know, sunrise to sunrise within a 24-hour cycle, but it might not get dark, what we call, you know, the same degree of darkness of what we would say is Tzeisa Kochavim, in terms of Rabbeinu Tam here. If we remember, I once gave a shiur on that. That was, 4 mil after sunset, which is about 72 minutes in terms of in Eretz Yisrael in the springtime. And that degree of darkness, then they say that in Israel, that's about the sun has set a little over 16 degrees, 16.8, thank you, degrees below the horizon, and then you extrapolate that degree of darkness and declination, I think is the word, of the sun below the horizon and other places, and that's when Tzeisa Kochavim Kol Rabbeinu Tam would be. So there are places where you might have a sunrise, sunset, but you never get really that type of Tzeisa Kochavim. Once you get above the Arctic Circle, then there are times of the year where within a 24-hour cycle, you're not going to have a sunrise to sunrise or a sunset to sunset. So as we're going into winter, you know, now, you know, you'll have a sunset, you know, above the Arctic Circle, and it can last more than what we call a day. And it can last 2 months, you know, it can last. So what happens when you're in those areas? You know, how do you keep Shabbos? What kind of Zmanim do you have? The opposite is in the summer, you'll have sunlight, you know, for, let's say, 2 months. What will happen? If you go all the way to the North Pole, so then what happens is you have sunrise coming up, and that sun stays in the sky for 6 months, goes around the horizon, but it never settles and comes back up. It always stays above your plane for 6 months. Then it'll go below the horizon and stay below the horizon for 6 months. So there, a sunrise to sunrise or sunset to sunset actually takes a full year at the North Pole. Some other points of just what some people will be mentioning. Some people might say there's some halachic significance to the very first time, let's say in the spring, when the sun comes over the horizon, that point in the sky where that sun is, again, the sun will go around for the next 6 months, you know, and you'll constantly see it, but in one day, it will make a complete circle and come back to that point. So maybe that point has some halachic significance. The same thing where maybe at a point where the sun goes down, in the sky, and then you'll see stars there, which will circle within 24 hours. We'll come back to where they started. Maybe that point has halachic significance. Okay, so let's start the shiur. The Minchas Elazar was the Munkacher. I didn't know all these dates. I just Googled them, you know, today. Died in 1937. So when he talked about this topic, he just pointed out, lo nidbar b'shum makom b'shasad l'chazal, v'lo b'poskim yishonim v'achorinim ma dinan shel osen makamos. We don't have a lot of sources, which to a lot of times when you're confronted with, you know...
Yes, Joe, the moon catcher talked about
that? I thought it was very... Also on the Chaburov thing, there was some very funny... your pale settlement, and from Poland, there were very cute... very sharp and witty comments.
That is it. I'm going to be fine.
Okay. So he said that there's not many sources on which to draw from to try to analyze a situation where the sun stays up for months at a time, or the sun, you know, is below the horizon for months at a time. So what to do? But there is one source, which the Morok Tzio, which is the Rav Yaakov Emdin, passed away in 1776, which is going to be source four. He's going to try to draw on the following source two's Gemara as a source, maybe in some way parallel. What is source two is Gemara in Shabbos Daf Samach Tet, and it talks about the case where a person is in the desert and just loses track of all time. You know, when he's in the desert, maybe he has heat stroke and he's just delirious and he's going in and he's going out and he's going in and he's going out and he's going in. Finally, he wakes up. He has no idea what day it is. He has no idea. Is it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? I don't know. I don't know what day it is. What should he do? So Amar Rav Huna Haya Mahalech Bamidbar Ve'eno Yodea Ematai Shabbos Mone Shisha Yomim Umeshama Yom Echad. So he should begin counting 6 days, and then on the seventh day he should then keep Shabbos from the day when he wakes up and he doesn't, you know, when he starts having the suffering. The Gemara continues and says, "Amar Rava Kol Yom Vayom Osolo Parnasoso Afilu Hu Yoma." When it says Osolo Parnasoso, it's talking about the bare amount of what a person every single day of these 6 days and even the seventh day, it's always a suffix Shabbos for him. He really doesn't know. The Gemara is telling him how he should act. So for all those days, for the 6 days, they said you're counting, but you don't know is it Shabbos or not. And because you're in a suffix, you are only allowed to do enough malacha for pikuach nefesh, to stay alive. That's all you're allowed to do. And you're then allowed to do that also on your Shabbos. You're allowed to, it's because you're allowed to do it. But then if you're allowed to do everything for the 6 days and you're allowed to do the 7th day, what's the difference between all the 6 days and the 7th day that you're keeping Shabbos? So Gemara says, Vahu yoma b'may min kalei. What's really the difference if every day you're only allowed to do enough malacha, which is to get by with pikuach nefesh, the bare minimum? So he says, on the 7th day, b'kedusha v'avdalta. So you're also doing some bare minimum work to stay alive, but you can make kiddush and havdalah on every seventh day. So again, it's a din derabanan. It's a din derabanan. So you won't forget the concept of Shabbos. Yes.
Arguing or explaining?
Explaining.
Yeah, that's everyone agrees to.
So if you look down in the Shulchan Aruch, and then he brings it down, la'alacha, he quotes the Gemara exactly like I said. So that's the that's halacha in source three, Simin Shin Mem Dalet. So the source four, Rav Yaakov Emdin, tries to use that source and say how we should behave if you go into an area north of the Arctic Circle. Tzurchian Echin Hago Yoshim Onosim B'Midiras Hasmuchos LeKotev. The pole, shelafi rov hakurva mitarech hayom, the day gets longer. Yesh shiyeh chodesh o shnei chodeshim yom echad. You can have light for 2 months or dark for 2 months, right? V'chein yoser ad shematzim makom mitarech hayom chatzi shana. Until you get to the North Pole, when actually, you know, daylight's going to be for half for 6 months and darkness for 6 months. Im kain ketzel yasushim Shabbos. How should you behave? So he wants to say you're really. You don't know. You're in an area where you can't tell halachic time. There's no sunrise. There's no sunset. You can't tell halachic time. You're in a suffix. What should you... So he says, well, there's this case in the Gemara where you're also in a suffix. You don't know when Shabbos is. There you counted 6 days, and the seventh day you kept Shabbos. So most people read the Rav Yaakov Emdin as saying, so you do here. V'nilu ishish limno sham shivas yamim shavim shachav dalad shos Shavos Shalanu. So again, once you enter that area and you have a suffix in time, how to count time, start counting 6 days, and on that seventh day, it will be a 24-hour period, that will be your Shabbos. And he quotes it, he says, just like that case that we talked in the Gemara when you were lost in the desert.
Yeah. in the case when you're lost in the desert, it's a Safek, Shabbos does exist.
Correct.
You don't know which day.
Right.
Here maybe there isn't any Shabbos because there isn't any day or night.
Right. So there is, we are going to raise, excellent. So we are going to raise that possibility that maybe Shabbos does not exist. And Rabbi Bleich likes that, you know, and that's his end thing. He thinks when you're in a time, when you that you're above time, and you're lemala min hazman, and mitzvos hatluyos bizman don't exist. Shabbos does not exist when you get into this area of the Arctic Circle. That is Rabbi Bleich's. That's Rabbi Bleich's opinion.
And davening also.
Many people were going to say that's not the mainstream opinion. We're going to see it's Pharisee Shul. I think it's more the mainstream opinion. But that was Rabbi Bleich, and logically, you know, that could be. But yeah. So we're going to talk about, Rabbi Bleich brings down, and an astronaut, he makes a distinction. When you're in outer space, and you're out of the Earth's orbit, so he wants to say it's exactly like you're in the pole, you're above time, and you have mitzvahs gufani, you know, would still apply, but mitzvahs atlus vizman would not apply. If you're in orbit of the Earth, and you're cycling the Earth every 90 minutes, so he wants to say that your zman is talaya on ground level of what you are above. So if you're cycling the Earth every 90 minutes, so let's say at noon, you know, it's Shabbos in New York and you're right over New York, it's Shabbos for you. You're traveling so fast, in a few more minutes you're outside of New York, it's no longer Shabbos. But when you come back at 1:30, right, to that, it's still Shabbos in New York. You'll re-enter Shabbos again. So he wants to say multiple times if you're in the Earth's orbit, then you're going to be entering and exiting Shabbos multiple times within a 24-hour period. No, so he said, right, so he wants to say you won't have to daven more than once that day, and you know, won't have to do more than once. But you are, yeah.
The logic behind that is that, because you see, the sunset is hidden by mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the question is if you take account the mountains or not. Okay, if it's hidden by buildings,
right,
many things you don't take account.
Right, so if you're on the top of the Empire State Building, he's saying, you don't, and you see the sun longer than when you're on the ground floor, Shabbos enters at the top of the Empire State Building at ground one. You know, they both enter it at the same time of ground. However, but if you're in Tveria and Sipori, the Gemara talk about, where Tveria is on ground, they're both ground level, but one, Sipori is more in the higher elevations. Tveria is at a lower elevation, so Sipori, who's higher, can see the sun longer and will start Shabbos later. But again, it's still that's considered the ground level.
The issue is opposite there. The issue there is that Terry is in the valley.
Right.
And the sun is hidden by the mountain.
Right. So you can make believe that the mountains are not.
Shabbat is in Terry and Seter Shabbat is in Sipori. That's what the Gemara is.
Right. So I'm saying, you're right. I'm agreeing that Tveri comes in earlier.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I said. And Sipori comes in later. That's what I said. Okay. So, good. Okay,
that's
excellent.
With an airplane.
Yes.
But you follow what's on the ground.
Correct. And that's what we do. You know, we know that when we... you follow the Zman when you're in it. So you're fast. If you're going from New York to Israel, your fast can shorten. And when you're going the opposite way, your fast is lengthened. Correct. Because you do it, whatever is on the ground, when you're in the Earth's atmosphere. Correct. But what happens with this Rav Yaakov Emden, so if you enter into this area, like in, you know, north of the Arctic Circle, Ira enters in on a Sunday, then his Shabbos is always going to be Sunday. If I enter in on Wednesday, my Shabbos is going to be Wednesday. We're both in the Arctic Circle. We can be in the same thing. But he went to say that once you enter, he seemed to say that you count 6 days, and your seventh day is going to be your Shabbos. My seventh day is going to be my Shabbos. We come in there, you know, different times. You know, it's equivalent, I guess, two people who were in the desert who each got, but, you know, was in there, and each one, for some reason, you know, woke up from there, you know, and we had a suffix at different times. Their account starts at on different days and would be there, they would say Kiddush and Abdullah on different days. However, there is a reading of Rabbi Yaakov Emden in Source 5, the Machzik Bracha, which is much closer to the Pharisee Shul. He doesn't say, he reads... the Moruk Tzia, Rav Yaakov Emden, as not saying that as soon as you enter that area, then count 6 days and then it's your seventh. But if you know that you entered it on a Tuesday, okay, now you're not sure what to do. So, okay, so now you look at your watch, and the next 24 hours then would make it Wednesday, would make it Thursday, and then make it Friday. So any two people that come in, they always know, because Shabbos is the same. What?
If you enter the North Pole, it's not going to be Tuesday all over the world necessarily.
Right, but I'm saying once you entered that area, you had a certain time that you entered, you're in with, and then you would then start adding 24 hours. You know, if you knew that it was Tuesday, but now all of a sudden it's not, the sun is not going down. So then count 24 hours, it'll be Wednesday, 24 hours. Don't stay 24 hours and it's Sunday, which is how we were reading the Moritzia, the first way. He would read it, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, count 24 hours. If you came in, then it becomes Wednesday. You don't start from day one. You start from the next day from when you came in. V'im kishigil l'sham, yodea eza yom, bashavua omeid bo, matchil l'mnos hayom chavta al chos l'fi ma sheyodea, Shehu Yom Shabbat, what day of the week it is, of Shabbat, Upashut. And he says this is Pashut in meaning. And that's more how the Tiferes Yisrael is going to learn. If you look at source 6, which is, if you look in the regular Mishnah, Yisrachan and Boaz here, and Boaz Brachos Perak Aleph Os Gimel. The Tiferes Yisrael passed away in 1860. We mentioned him when we talked about dinosaurs. So he had an interest, I just remembered. So, okay, but I just underlined certain words. If you look on the third line, if you're going North Pole, you see how he wrote it in, you're heading over to the North Pole. And then if you go two more lines down, I underlined Veil Fish. What are you doing up there? So you're hunting whale fish. So then he says, so what do you do? So Yeshlom Marsham, he says, he differs from the Rav Yaakov Emden, says you're not looking at your clock necessarily for 24 hours. You can't look at the sun, sunrise, sunset, but he still says you still look at the sun, or if it's nighttime, the stars. Let's take the sun now, and that's not sunrise, sunset is not going to tell you the 24-hour thing, but remember I said above the Arctic Circle, it never gets dark, it never settles, but it does rotate around the horizon, and it will always take around 24 hours to get back to the spot that it was, to the same spot. So he would say, Yesham Simon Acha Yeshlo, the Sham Hashemesh Makif Michol Dalet Aruchas Kol Chav Dalet Cho. So it goes around every 24 hours, even though it stays above the horizon. Im Kain, Yodea Shekola Kafa Aleph Shetase Hashemesh Yodeshu Yomechad. So then I know if it goes around back to the same point, it's one day. So therefore I know I can count days. If I come on a Sunday, then I can just count, that many days. When it comes around to the seventh time that it goes around, then I know that I have to keep Shabbos. Now he says, okay, I know it's Shabbos, but I have a little more problem with Zmanim. When is Shachris? When is Ma'ariv? When does Shabbos start? Because again, I see the sun all the time, so I know it's Saturday, but I really don't know how to tell, how to tell time. So he says, and even though, he doesn't know what time to make Shabbos, he has an answer. Yishlomar, and this is very simple, what we mentioned before, the gam chaje efshar letzadeid, what he's going to do is, he came, and I underlined it towards the bottom, and I highlighted it, that he came in with a certain time, right? So then look at the sun, when you came into this position, and you know what time it is, then when it cycles back to that site, that's going to be 24 hours later, the next day, but exactly at the time that you came in. So he says, Yishmor, excellent. Well, I'll tell you. You see that? The Tiferes Yisrael says, you're going to take the time. Now, there's a machlokas, almost three ways, and I didn't remember, of what does it mean, makom sheyotza? Your original home that you left? Is it your last port of embarkation, like your last place? Because sometimes when you're traveling, so if you got to, you left your home, that was at certain time X. But you're traveling up there, and now you got to, your last time you hit the boat, maybe before you got on the boat, everyone synchronized your watches to whatever time, it was there. And then you're going in. Or do you say, we're going to see a source, and that's going to say, you don't go by, another source would say, what does it mean, Makam Shiyatza, means the nearest, the closest Jewish community, that time. Because I think he quoted in the Rabbi Blech, there was a Scandinavian country that was keeping Hamburg time, because that was the closest Jewish community when they moved up that far north. So that's the Makam Shiyatza. So again, if we understood the Mora B'Ktzia, Rabbi Yaakov Emden saying, whenever you get to count 6 days, and the next day is going to be Shabbos, people get there different days, they're keeping Shabbos way different days whenever they got there. The Tiferes Yisrael is going to say, no, everyone's going to be keeping, you're coming in with your time, you know, so everyone's coming in whenever you came in. So I came in on the Sunday, I came in on a Wednesday, but everyone's then is going to know when Shabbos is based on the time they came in. However, if it's the time that they left, there is still something that happens. Maybe you and Yossi, you were referring to this, is that let's say someone came to that area from, he mentions, from Europe, right? May Europa. And let's say someone came there from America. So everyone is coming in, the Europe person and the American person is coming in from, you know, so they each one are keeping the same calendar time. They know when, each one knows when Shabbos is. But again, you know, but again, there's going to be a 5-6 hour difference, you know, 5 hours. Depending on, yeah, it could be. Correct, it could be that. But everyone is keeping the day, it's just that they're just taking, with the difference with...
With 12 hours of
what time zone you came from. Why some people were going to come to see, other people are going to take the concept of the Tiferes Yisrael, of maybe taking a 24-hour day, and maybe looking at the sun of when it goes, but they're going to be bothered, maybe as Yossi is, that how can you have two people standing in the same place, you know, take shop. If a guy from, you know, London and America come to Eretz Yisrael, we know that at sunset on Friday night here in Eretz Yisrael, that's when Shabbos starts. I don't care where you came from. That is from source 12. If you look at source 12, Sheshes Yomim Te'aseh Melacha. This is in Vayikra Chav Gimel, Pasuk Gimel. Uvayom Hashvi Shabbat Shabbaton Mikra Kodesh. Komu Lecho Lo Te'asu. Shabbat Hi Lashem. The words, Bechol Moshvotechem. So Shabbos starts in the Moshvotechem, wherever you are, on Friday evening when sun sets. That is where Shabbos comes in that place. So Yossi is saying, well, if two people are coming and they're in the North Pole, and so there should be some, possibly, some time that we can say Shabbos starts for both of them, even though they came from different places. Again, that wasn't, the Tiferes Yisrael wanted to say, you came from the Makam Shiyatza. Again, we saw different things, Makam Shiyatza, your original home, your port of embarkation, or maybe even the closest Jewish community. beneath it, I just showed you Rabbi Bleich, how encyclopedic he is. Just a footnote, he quotes like 15, you know, tshuvas that are using that, maybe that Tiferes Yisrael's concept of a 24-hour clock, although you'll see that we're going to mention some differences. Right. So we'll talk about it.
One of the problems is that the same 24 hours, it's not really 24 hours.
Okay.
It's from sunset to sunset.
What,
it's not 24 hours except for 2 days of the year.
Yeah, okay. So I'm saying, right, correct. So again, he won't say it won't be sunset to sunset. It'll be from the time you see the sun go there to the time you see the sun go right, you know, right at the exact same place. That will be the start of the new day. Okay. Just some sources, the next couple of sources. So this idea that maybe you can have days being counted even though you don't have a sunrise and a sunset. So one of the obvious sources were going to be from Bria's Olam, because you had the sun and the stars and the moon, you know, weren't created to day 4, but you still had day 1, 2, and 3. So you see that you can have some sort of concept of day 1, 2, and 3 of a day, even though you don't have a sun rising and setting. So you see, Rabbeinu Bechaya deals with that in source seven. I just wanted to bring down some other sources. In source 8, there's a Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yud Bet. Says that certain things were created on the first day, Shemaim Aretz, Tov Avo, Or V'Choshech, Ruach Hamayim, and Midas Yom and Midas Laila. And what does Rashi say? Midas Yom, Midas Laila, Esrim V'Abar Shos Ben Shnehem. So it's already this concept, possibly, of 24-hour days, even before the sun was created on day four. To some other sources, Rashi and Brachos, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Dalid, wants to say that the sun and the moon shone for all of, you know, Sheshes Shemei Brachos. It wasn't going in and out. He mentions, Aval B'Shivas Shemei Brachos, Shemasu Ha'or V'Shimshu Ha'or V'Choshech Ha'Rishonim Yachad Bein B'Yom Bein B'Layla. So things were, you know, how much can we, you know, tell from there, but things were not as they are, I guess, you know, from Motzei Shabbos, of that first Shabbos, and, you know, till now. And then someone else, source 11, the Ramban wanted to say that what's happening, what does it mean, Yehi Or Avokeh Yom Echad, before there was an Or? It's just a remez, Kizeh Remez. It's a remez that there will be this concept of Yom and of Erev and Boker after day four, once you have the sun rising and setting. That might seem to show that maybe it is more dependent on the sun rising and setting. And then we already saw source 12 that Shabbos starts really with the, you know, rise, you know, with the setting of the sun on Friday evening, B'chol Moshvo Sechem. Again, a source that might, you know, show it depends a little bit more on, you know, the sun setting or something, you know, and not just taking 24 hours. Okay. Let's take one other point was the Rav Halberstam in Shutteve Yitziv, passed away in 1994, the Sanz Klausenberg Rebbe, mentions in Or HaChaim Simen Kaf Ches that when you enter into this zone where the sun doesn't set or sun doesn't rise, that we mentioned, according to the Tiferes Yisrael, you're going to use the Lefi HaMakom Sheyatza. He says, maybe because of Yossi was saying, wait a second, but then you're having a person from Europe and a person from America, and they're keeping Shabbos a couple of hours apart. I don't like that. So what did he say? Everyone should follow Basar Eretz HaKodesh. Everyone should follow Eretz Yisrael time. So that, you know, that was his, you like that. That was his, suggestion. Now, otherwise, now, the next few sources are going to take some astronomical signs, as I mentioned, that might have halachic significance. So they'll say, don't take what point. So don't take the time that you entered. Don't take Eretz Yisrael time. But they're going to say there's some more objective time that you can use when you're in areas north of the Arctic Circle. What would that be? So the next source is Rav Sternberg, Chuvas Ven Hagos, Krachalach Simen Shintov, Tet Vav. And he said the following. He said, in the spring and summer, when it's going to be daylight at the North Pole for 6 months, the point that has halachic significance is the point where the very first time in the spring that the sun broke through the horizon. So it's going to circle now for the next 6 months and go around every 24 hours. But pick that point where it came up at the very first time over the horizon, and for the next 6 months, that's going to be the change of a day, that point. And he says, although he says, and this is interesting, he wants to say there is only day, and you can only do mitzvahs of the day, and you can't do any night, and night is Keharif Ayin. That's Rav Sternberg's Shita. That during this time, you're going to have day. Day is going to start from that point where it first came over in the spring, over the horizon. Whenever it reaches that point again, it's going to be a new day. But day two happens when it passes that point. But it goes from day for 24 hours, split second night, to day again for 24 hours. And there's no night. Because it never gets dark, the sun is always on the horizon. That's Rav Sternberg. So you can count to Shabbos, but you can't do mitzvos of night during the day, or the opposite. If it was night and you have those stars that are going over every, you know, the very point where the sun went below the horizon and the stars were shining up over there, every 24 hours, that's going to be a new day. But then you can't do, for those 6 months, you're not doing tzitzis, you're not doing tefillin, or things, you know, things that are dependent on daytime.
When do you start Shabbos?
Shabbos. So Shabbos would, excellent. So he doesn't, other people are going to say, I would assume he picks that time, but what point, that's the new day. So I guess he would say when you get that Shabbos starts at that day. Shabbos starts exactly that every seventh day when it hits that point for the next 24 or 25 hours is Shabbos. And then you'll only do the Shabbos, and you'll only do the Shabbos morning. It'll always, every seventh day would be a Shabbos morning for 24 hours.
Let's. Our Jews that used to live there still,
and
they do.
Right.
It's less of a tournament. Right. It's only about
at which
period of time.
Right.
And it's like 2 days, I think, where the sun doesn't disappear. The rest of the time, the sun goes below the horizon.
I have an article here.
It gets dark. The sky gets dark, but not dark. It's dusky.
There is a, if you want to look for what to do, there is a Star K, the Star K has an article as from 2002. I guess once they started, the Star K started doing certain tours, certain cruises that went up north into the Arctic Circle. So they had kosher cruises that go up north. You want to see the Northern Lights. And one thing. So they have a whole article and they break it down exactly every area. If you're above the Arctic Circle, below the Arctic Circle, did you have a sunrise? Did you not have a sunrise? A sunset? Is it, and tells you when you should daven. They actually try to take certain of the shitos and be machmir for some of the shit. So not always consistent with one, but they want to say what would be the, try to, cover even more ground and what you should do. So you can make reference to that. With a specific situation. So I just wanted to mention that also. So now, we mentioned just a review. So we mentioned one, we mentioned the Rav Yaakov Emden was the first one, just start counting 6 days, and then seventh, and then you're going to have people there, celebrating Shabbos completely off. Then we had Tiferes Yisrael says, no, you're keeping your own time, the Mokum Sheyotza, so everyone's going to, have Shabbos the same day. However, you might be a few hours off, depending if you came from Europe or America. Then we saw Rav Halberstammer says, no, let's just follow Eretz Yisrael time. Then we found, we're up to now, the Rav Sternbach who's saying, you're going to follow a time when it came up. That the first time in the spring, that's going to be every new day when it passes that point. And that was in source 4. He mentions, Hachi Karov L'Shemesh, Hachi Rachok L'Shemesh. Those were the points where I said, when it came up in the spring or where it settled, one is going to be considered day, one's going to be considered night. However, he only looks at, during the summertime, he only looks at the day point when it came up, and at nighttime, he'll say he only looked at the night part, Rav Sternbach, and he would say for 24 hours it's night, and it turns to another night when the stars reach that point. But he never says that there's 12 hours of day and 12 hours of night in that region. He just keeps it as 24 hours of day or 24 hours of night, but he picks that point of where it came up or went down during the, for those four times, during the spring and the autumn. However, the next two sources are going to take... And he says, don't... What? Again, that was another... We heard that suggestion. He felt, better not to live in these places, because, to get out of... out of a lot of these sveikot. So then, however, the next two sources, there was one more in the Mo'ud Mizman, again, Rav Strombach. It's okay, another suggestion. Instead of just when the sun goes up at that point, when you're at the North Pole, it stays, it never gets closer to the horizon or higher. I was learning this. It stays in a circle all around. Maybe over the next 3 months, it might go up to, I think it said 23 degrees, and then down 23 degrees, they're on the right Earth, but it's staying at the same, it never gets closer during that whole day, it never dips towards the horizon, it comes up. If you're not at the North Pole, if you're a little bit, if you're south of it, in these other areas, you might have the sun going, out there for 2 months, and you might see it, and it might go all around, but there'll be times when it's getting a little closer to the horizon, and times when it's getting a little further away from the horizon.
I
understood that source is saying when it goes, once it's from the lower part of the horizon going up would be like day, and that point would be the where you should mark every 24 hours as day from the lowest point or night from the lowest point of the horizon like that.
I understood him saying that it's 180 degrees from where it first appears.
Correct. Correct.
Well, without the change in the horizon.
That was on the page. But then when I turned the page, the Modim Luzmanim, he said, then it mentioned something at the lowest point in the sky. So I think the first source was talking again, Rev Sternberg was talking at the pole when it doesn't dip at all, and the second source is saying when it might dip a little bit. Okay, I don't want to lose anybody, but the basic point of Rev Sternberg is he's going to take one point, that's going to be your point every day, but it's going to be day for 24 hours, and night is going to be parafayim, or the opposite, it's going to be night for 24 hours. Other people didn't like that, and they still took those 2 points, but they said, even though you don't see that point for another 6 months of when it goes under, and you only see the point where it goes up, take the point where it went up and say that's day. Take the point where it's going to go down in 6 months and call that night. So therefore, I'm going to have, over the course of the 24 hours, I'm going to have 12 hours of day and 12 hours of night. Even though it's sunny all 24 hours, and Rav Sternberg wants to say it's going to be day for 24 hours, and night is only going to be a second, the Tshuvos Divrei Yosef, and that's going to be following in his footstep, is going to be the Ben Ish Chai and Rav Goren, we're going to say, no, we're going to take this 24 hours and split it up into 12 hours of day and 12 hours of night, and you're going to be able to do day things during the daytime mitzvos, and night things during nighttime, mitzvos. But they still take that same 2 points, halakha points, of where it came over the horizon in the spring and where it settled in the fall. However, the only difference I saw, if you looked at source 16, and I'm not sure why this really makes that much of a difference, I have to think about it, he's taking, the Ben Ish Chai is comparing it to a perfect day where Chatzos is 12 noon. So he's saying, with a point where it comes up, that's going to be 6 a.m., call that 6 a.m., and that's going to be sunrise. Where the sun goes down 6 months later, call that 6 p.m., and even though it didn't go down, when it passes that point, call it 6 p.m., and then you're having a day of 6 a.m., 6 p.m., 6 a.m., 6 p.m., and that's your day when you're above in these areas. Rav Goren wanted to say, I thought it was interesting, as you're going further north, remember we said sunset is getting later, later, and later. And he extrapolated that if you got to the North Pole, then sunset should be at midnight. And the same thing, sunrise is getting later, later, and later the further up you go. So sunrise should be at noon. So he picks the same 2 points, I think Rav Goren, but instead of calling it 6 a.m., 6 p.m., he's calling it midnight and noon. Okay, so if I had to summarize again, the Tiferes Yisrael was saying, you're going to take time in there, and you're going to take the time of the Mokum Sheyatza, but these other people, the Rav Sternbach, Rav Goren, the Ben Ish Chai, are saying, you're not going to take time, and also the Rav Halberstam says, you're not going to take time in with you, you're going to use Eretz Yisrael time, but these other people say, also, you're not going to take time in with you, you're going to use astronomical events, when the sun past the horizon, when the sun sets on the horizon 6 months apart, but you're going to use that either as a 24-hour day or as a 12-hour day, 12-hour night, depending on what we said in the past. Okay, so those were all. Now all I did was 2 shitot. There are another 2 shitot that I want to mention. The next one, source 18, is what we mentioned. Rabbi Bleich at least gave it as a theoretical. This is not. This is not what we mentioned. This is Rabbi Bleich saying in source 18, and the Minchas Elazar says, again, the Munkacha says something very similar. And he wants to say the following. He says, he quotes the Tiferes Yisrael, that you're going to keep this 24-hour clock in source 18. But he says in the third line, Lo alo shum dova barur v'shum raya lezeh. He points out the Munkacha that the Tiferes Yisrael gave any rayos of why you have to follow this 24-hour. Why necessarily, when you come into this area, are you going to say that time continues with what you came, and every 24 hours it's going to be a next day? Who says? Don't we need a sunset for a day? And he's going to say, he's going to raise the possibility. He says, in the rest of the tshuva, a person comes in, but he limited it a little bit. A person came in on Friday, and they were at a place below the Arctic Circle where there was a sunset. So Shabbos started for him. He continued traveling north, right? And there was a sunset. Now there's a sunrise, and it's Shabbos, But now the sun is staying in the sky for 2 months. It never sets again. Remember, we have Shabbos from sunset to sunset, from Friday night sunset, Shabbos starts, but it's not over till the Saturday sunset. His Saturday sunset, all of a sudden he moved into an area where the sun didn't set. And so he says, he raises the possibility that maybe even on a Doraisa level, that I wrote it a second to last line and highlighted, Hare Nishar Becheska Shabbos, Kaven Shelo Shaka Lehachama Velo Yatzah Shabbos. For the next 2 months, it's one day. It's one day. Not every 24 hours will be another day, but maybe you need a sunset and a sunset to make each, you know, day. It never happened. It stays Shabbos till you're going to have a sunset. And so Rabbi Bleich takes this as a theoretical, which he thought made a lot of sense, 19, and he says, okay, who said a day had to be 24 hours? A day is sunset to sunset, or sunrise to sunrise, you know, if you want to take Jewish days or secular days type of things. And so he would say the following, which comes out amazingly. If you're at the North Pole, this is source 19, remember what I said, the sun rises, you know, the sun rises, you know, and then stays there for 6 months, and then the sun sets for 6 months. So you're not going to have a sunrise to sunrise, it's going to take a whole year. That whole year, or sunset to sunset, so sunset to sunset is going to be a year. That's one day. The sun sets again, okay, day two starts. A year later, sunset's going to happen again. That's year. That's day three, that's Tuesday for you. That's Wednesday for you. So you're going to say it's going to take 6 years, right? Is really, and then Shabbos comes, and you're going to have Shabbos for a whole year.
In other words,
he says, let me read it.
Lens of a Torah says Shmita is Shabbat Shabbat.
Yeah?
That's why he said, don't quote it.
So that he thought, the only reason why he said, theoretically, why this can't, you know, maybe is not, is that we have this type of idea that maybe there has to be a Shabbos day for everyone around the whole world. And there you're not having the same Shabbos day in the world. But theoretically, he thought that was a, it made sense, it was consistent and it made sense. However, what he really thought was source 20 is what we mentioned before. And he says that when you enter these times, he is focused very much on a day started, not with astronomical of just the sun going back to the same start that it was in the horizon in the springtime when it first came over the horizon, or not, you know, 24 hours on your clock. You really, for halachic time, you need sunrises and sunsets, vayir, vayivoker. But if you enter an area now that doesn't have that, you're above time. There is no halachic day and hence no halachic time. And your pater from time-bound mitzvahs are simply non-existent in such places. However, he says, once after 2 months, it starts sunrise and sunset. It's not like the previous source where that 2 months was just one day. That was the previous one in 19. They would take that whole 2 months or 6 months and just treat it like, you know, just a day. He says, once you come back into the sunrise, sunset, then you're back in the time schedule of the whole world. And that's what that was his opinion. So when you enter this area, you're putter from time-bound mitzvos. Time doesn't exist. When time, sunrise, sunset starts happening again in these areas, then you'll start having time again. But that time that passed was not one day. It was the same time that passed in 99% of the world. And you join that time. That was his idea, which he thought. Then I just mentioned in one of his proofs of saying that when you go to a time, when you go to a place where the sun doesn't set, why he thought that when it comes back again, you re-enter time like the rest of the world, but not, don't look at that time as just one, you know, as a day, but just re-enter it as it was. He said from Tanakh, when Yahushua stopped the sun, and remember it says Shemesh Begivon Dom Ve'erech Ve'emak Ayalon. So he quotes the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, and he says that day of the war was Erev Shabbos. It was Friday. And the fighting the war. And then he says, Ro Yahushua b'tzarosin shei Yisrael, shelo yachalu es haShabbos. This is Perek Nun Bet, in Perkei de Rebbe Eliezer. And the people saw they were fighting the war, and then they saw the Shabbos is coming. So then, and they were getting upset. Yahushua saw that they were upset. He stops the, I guess for the battle to continue, also to beat the enemies, but he stops the sun, the moon, and the stars. Stops everything. So, and then It mentions how long did he stop it? He stopped it for 36 hours. V'amdu kol echavecha shloshim v'shei shos ad matzei Shabbos. So he stops it for 36 hours. But when time resumed, it was matzei Shabbos. So you go back, once you come back in time, it's like time flowed, and you pick up where time is for the rest of where it would have been. It's not that you would look at something for 24 hours when the sun didn't set, and all of a sudden make it another day.
So it's contradictory within the Mishnah itself. It said they were worried about being Mechal Shabbos. So there was this. They skipped Shabbos then, right?
Right.
So this is Rabbi Bleich's thing. Since the sun didn't set, you're in an area where sun doesn't set, you don't have mitzvahs atluyas bizman, and that Shabbos, they were putter from Shabbos, that Shabbos, there was no Shabbos for them, that Shabbos, and his proof again was that once time resumed, it didn't resume where it left off, or you know, then it resumed back where the rest of the world would be like on a Matzei Shabbos. And then the last source was 23. He mentioned that if you're in outer space, that's like in the polar, so you'd be above Zman. And then he mentioned if you're orbiting the Earth, though, every 90 minutes, that's when you can come in and out of Shabbos multiple times over 24 hours.